Well, I'm a lonesome Texan.
This is a little duet that President Bush and Senator Kerry did last night after the debate. They went over to the John Cougar Mellencamp concert in the corridor and took the stage for this tune.
You want some more ambiance?
Yeah, do you have any more ambiance?
I have some left over, actually.
You have ambiance.
Absolutely amazing. Thanks, yeah. By the way. I really deeply wanted to thank you for yesterday.
If I could have arranged it, it would have been me.
I had a good time. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, okay?
It should have been me there in the rain.
Was I wrong, or did the forecast yesterday call for a slight chance of a shower?
Slight chance for a shower.
Yeah. I was thinking of that as I was walking to my car during the slight chance of a shower, and my hair was driven down over my eyes by the shower.
We have an even more pressing problem here because... another candidate declared for governor today.
Right, yes, I'd heard that.
Now, this candidate would be Susan Bice, who is Secretary of State. I don't even know where to begin other than to say, is there any question about who's daddy?
Watch it.
Well, no, I think we're her daddy, except we were her daddy, except, you know what, we're not her daddy anymore. And that's what, you know, in other words, I don't know. I don't know how you found out that Susan Bicewitz had announced that she was running for governor. I found out when somebody sent me a Keith Faniff article in the Journal Enquirer. Now, Keith Faniff's a great journalist, but he hasn't done for Susan Bicewitz what we've done.
Didn't she say at one time that when she decided to run for governor, you would be one of the first.
That is my recollection.
That one of the first. You're absolutely right.
So
thanks, basically.
Our feeling about this is, I don't even know, I'm so wounded. I don't even know if I can do this show. I'm very close to tears, actually. But, I would back somebody else, except that I really can't stand Malloy. And I don't know, I can't get a fix on DiStefano. He's like, his clothes upset me, among other things.
Yeah.
So,
but you got that bicycle?
We're not going to back mayors because mayors suck. As gubernatorial candidates, they suck. Yeah. I'm not saying that they suck in general, but what happened, look, there's two mayors that anybody's ever heard of, and they're both in prison. Other than that, nobody's ever heard of any of these mayors. Most people couldn't pick Dan Malloy out of a lineup. He's one of the few mayors around here who hasn't been in a lineup. And DiStefano, maybe people could pick him out of a lineup because you get that whole crazy Guggenheim thing going. But, and that's one of the problems, in the debates, when they ask him questions, he's going to go, I'm just sitting around, not doing nothing. He's really old to get that joke.
Yeah, I was going to say. That was a while ago.
So anyway.
Mount St. Helens thing?
Yeah. Is Mount St. Helens, it's blue?
That's Mount St. Helens.
Yeah, that was Mount St. Helens.
Yeah, it says possible eruption.
I call that a definite
eruption. Looks like a pretty good size eruption to me.
We're getting some video imagery here of Mount St. Helens.
It's a steam cloud.
Either they've elected a new pope
or it's Mount St. Helens.
Or I think it's blue. It's one of those two. So we'll be talking about the debate today, and we'll obviously get your phone calls as well. We have a few guests scheduled for you. And I don't know what we're going to do about the Spicewood situation. Because I am obviously hurt.
I would think that you would be hurt.
Yeah, I feel like I've done a lot.
You're almost like a member of the family.
I am. That's what I thought I was. I mean, it seems to me I was like almost part of the Spicewood kitchen cabinet anyway.
At least.
A loyal retainer. And so it turns out I'm not. So you know what? Screw that. Screw it. I'll back somebody else. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, but who?
I'm not going to back either one of those loser nut job mayors, I can tell you that much. So somebody else better get in the race.
Well, there still are two other possibilities.
It's Blumenthal, if he feels like it. But you know what? He's too much of a chicken whistle. He won't run against Jody because he thinks she might beat him. He'll only run if he knows he's going to win.
So he doesn't think he could beat her?
I think a lot of people wonder whether they can beat Jody. Jody's a good politician. I mean, I think Jody's kind of so far a one or two trick pony, and maybe that'll eventually become clear.
You sure that's the kind of language you'd like to use here?
One or two trick pony. I don't know what's wrong with that. Were there ponies involved with this rolling thing? Or
no.
Were ponies used in some way?
No, go right ahead. Just don't let me stop you.
No, I mean, I just think that basically what she's done is create a pleasant, civilized atmosphere, which is nice. And then whenever anything comes up, she picks one or two kind of emotional or visceral adjectives to describe how she feels about it, just so everybody knows that she's angry and disgusted, or she's sick and tired, or, you know, she considers something to be disgraceful. I mean, that's sort of her big meme. That's the thing that she sort of does. You know, but I don't really know what that amounts to. I mean, it's very effective politically because that's how everybody else feels, too. They're angry and disgusted, too. But anyway, we have to move on from that. We can't get bogged down in our own personal emotional hurt. But, Susan Bice, I don't know, she may be on later in the show. She may not. Depends on if we feel like it. Gary Collins, who's one of the, first of all, coming up in the next segment, Gita Desai, who's made a movie about yoga. She's from the greater Hartford area. She's made a feature film about yoga. Will be right. Joining us.
What's it called?
I believe it's called Yoga Revealed.
What?
Yoga Revealed, I think is what it's called. It's
really?
A documentary about yoga.
Oh,
which,
documentary.
Which all of the great yogis are from around the world, I think, are interviewed. And I don't appear in it, but I am in yoga class with her, so I thought it'd be kind of fun to have her. And she's going to premiere in Hartford on Sunday at the Trinity Cine Studio. So she'll be joining us. And then at 4:10, Gary Collins, the Barack Obama of Connecticut, Gary Collins will be joining us. And he's, in addition to that, he's sort of leading the lawyers who are going to monitor the polls and the elections and stuff like that for the Democratic Party anyway. So, you know, to whatever extent there's some feeling that there'll be election law problems and stuff like that as there were 4 years ago, he's recruiting lawyers to sort of be there to see what's going on and to know what the election laws are and stuff like that.
That's hard work, isn't it?
It's hard work. It's very hard work. It's hard work even to talk to Gary Collins. It's hard work to even introduce the fact that we will be talking to Gary Collins. But you know what? We have to do it. It's hard work, but we have to do it.
Have to do it.
Who
else would do it if we didn't do it? It's hard work.
Exactly. And then also, personality expert Paul Teeger will be on to sort of talk about how the candidates projected themselves and their personalities. That'll be on later in the show.
You mean like,
guess what?
What kind of personality would it take to let your partner go out and stand in the rain while you were in a...
We could talk to...
While you were in a cushy studio.
I thought that I extroverted emotion in that situation. I was very... sympathetic and empathetic, and then at the end I praised you. I believe I called you the Arthur Kent of football broadcasting.
There was nothing done that was extraordinary, so there was no praise.
You're kind of the rain stud.
But you know what really bugged me more than anything is, but I was standing out there looking around. It was a very nice, the way they had the setup was very nice. There's a stage, okay, and it's under that giant scoreboard at one end of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm out there in the rain, and the big game James is there, and he's in the rain. We look over. Here's Arnold Dean with a folding chair sitting in the one dry spot in the whole area, just sitting there reading the paper like nothing's going on.
Well,
the rain's pounding down.
The man's 88 years old. One virus takes him out. I mean, what, you want him to go sit in the rain while you stay dry?
He did go sit in the rain after I suggested it. And I did go over there, and I was the one that was doing the work. It was hard work, but I was happy to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back today, and
we're back today, I mean, obviously, the debate is the big story.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was your overall impression?
I thought Bush looked like he was kind of fumbling at times. I thought Kerry looked amazing. I mean, I was expecting more of the long-winded, go on forever kind of stuff. Even though they had the little lights and everything going on, it looked like a railroad crossing there a couple of times. But I thought he did. I thought Kerry did a good job.
I thought it was the best John Kerry I've ever seen.
Yes, absolutely.
I've never seen him. I mean, he may have made a slip or two here or there. Although I think even that's open to debate. But in general, I mean, he seemed incredibly in command of the material and in command of himself. And that was really what he had to do. He had to sort of come out there and be some kind of authentic human being that people could identify. And in fact, if you had turned the sound off and then brought some people in who were from another planet or something and asked them, or even left the sound on, and asked them which one of these two people had been president of the United States for the last 4 years and which one was a hopeful, I think most people, you know, most sort of sentient creatures from outer space would have assumed that the big tall guy was the guy who had been the president.
Right. Yep.
He acted like a person who had been president of the United States and who understood what was involved there. And Bush did not. But on the other hand, I'm very reluctant to have opinions like this because I thought Gore won the first debate in 2000.
Yeah, but this was much better than anything Gore. Gore couldn't have even come close to this.
Yeah, I would say it was a letter-perfect performance by Kerry, I thought. And, you know, Bush is speaking to a different group of people, and he's trying to convert a different group of people. And they react to things that maybe you or I might not react to. So you have to be kind of careful in saying that he was unsuccessful, because they're not looking for the same kind of performance from President Bush that we would look for from a candidate. We've got Sue from Kensington. We can maybe squeeze one call on here.
Yeah, we'll do that. Break. Sue, how are you?
Hi. I like your show, but I have to say that now I'm getting kind of tired of it's a hard job or whatever you keep repeating.
Mm-hmm. Hard work.
Okay, I heard the same thing last night, but you guys just keep, you're killing it now, so I think you ought to let that go, okay? Good show, but stop killing the lines, okay?
It's hard work to have to hear something like that.
So everybody's a critic. Do you know that? Everybody's a critic.
You're tired of it because we said it three times.
He said it 100 times.
He said it about 38 times. It seems unfair. We should be able to say hard work as many times as the president did before we're told that we can't do it anymore.
Right.
But just to be good sports, maybe we'll stop anyway. Our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. Give us a phone call. Now's a good time to talk about the debates. We'll have other opportunities, too, as the day goes on.
Tomorrow morning, wake up to Hartford Courant's columnist Dan Simpson on W.
Hartford, Rick.
Hey, Bruce and Colin, how are you doing today?
Rick always goes right to the front of the line.
All right.
Basically, last night, one of the many things which apparently the president considers to be hard work is watching the scenes of Iraq on his television screen. And I think that's really one of the strong points of George W. Bush. I feel so patriotic now because I've been doing that. I didn't realize it was hard work. I always thought it was the absolute least I could possibly do to keep up on what's going on in Iraq and to honor the memory of the soldiers that have fallen over there. Mm. Now I find out I've been doing the hard part. So I feel much better about that now, and I think that was something that Bush did very well for the American people, made them feel better about what they've been doing. The other thing I'd like to say about this is when it comes to the debate last night, I've always had a lot of reasons to vote against George W. Bush. And the biggest thing that put Kerry ahead for me is that I couldn't see how he could possibly be as bad. Last night, John Kerry really laid out all the reasons why he can be much, much better. And I think that was one of the things he did so well.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, one of my sounding boards, maybe, was talking today about Reagan versus Carter. And that the country at that time really wanted to fire Carter in 1980, but they needed to know that Reagan wasn't the gibbering idiot that he'd been portrayed as by Carter and by the Democrats. And when Reagan showed up at the debates and functioned very well in the debates, that's all he had to do to give people a comfort level so they didn't have to vote for Carter, because they wanted to get rid of him anyway. And anyway, the guy I was talking to today was suggesting to me, there's a similar situation in place right now. There's a lot of people who would like to get rid of George W. Bush, but they don't feel like they can do that unless they can look at a guy and know that he's functioning and that he's got, you know, discernible opinions and that he's an authentic human being. And Kerry went out and did that last night. And it may turn out to be even more valuable to him, that performance, than is immediately evident.
And real quick, just to address something that you had said about who is George W. Bush trying to convince. When Karen Hughes goes on to CNN after the debate, and the best spin she can put on this situation is that George W. Bush was capable of remembering names and dates. Mm-hmm. She said he has, you know, he had facts to present. That doesn't strike me like even she was convinced that he did a very good job.
No, but it's kind of a new trick he's learned where he rattles off the names of all these world leaders and stuff. He didn't used to be able to do that. So if you sort of wondered, you know, what happened over the last 4 years, he did. He learned a whole bunch of names.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Right, bye.
You know, I loved it when he mentioned Putin and Vladimir.
Vladimir.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they had a number of very strange pronunciations of names. And also, I was fascinated by the mullahs. I was talking about money or something. But the mullahs of Iran. That Vladimir, it's Vladimir, I guess. Vladimir.
But I mean, what? So I'm supposed to make people feel better because he uses his first name?
I'm assuming Putin's watching this on DirecTV and going, does not even know how to say my name. What a cretin. All right, we'll take a call or two more.
There's Matt in Middletown. Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. A couple quick observations from last night. First of all, whenever Kerry would bring up a point, George Bush would respond not in real terms, but exactly how much money it costs to fix things. Oh, I spent $21 billion on that. I spent $7 billion on that. You know, he didn't say that we had done anything good or bad, just that we spent the money. The other observation that I had was that George Bush reminded me of when you were in class and you had to do a book report on the book that you didn't read, he was champing at the bit for his turn to speak. But when the light came on, he would just start with the rhetoric, and like Moby Dick was a really, really good book about the guy named Captain Ahab who had a ship called the Pequod. He didn't have any substance to what he said. He just, it seemed to me like he was just flying off the handle without anything really to say. So those are two quick points I had.
Once again, I'm borrowing this from somebody else, but in a conversation I had earlier today, the other person said, who would think that Kerry would win on style? You know, you might have guessed that Kerry would win on substance, but not on style. And in fact, if you go and read the transcripts, I mean, what you're saying is absolutely right. Stylistically, Bush was a train wreck last night. Long pauses. There was even one point where he asked for an extra 30 seconds and then fell silent, basically, for the first 5, 6, or 7 seconds after having requested an opportunity to respond.
He was waiting for a pat on the head, it seems.
If you read the transcripts, it's actually a somewhat closer call. If you read the transcripts, although Bush's presentation was just dreadful, you know, he occasionally has some worthwhile points to make and occasionally successfully engages Kerry on stuff. I thought actually his arguments on North Korea, on doing it multilaterally, I'm not super up to speed about this whole process, but I would guess that most of America isn't either.
Hunkering down in Crawford over the weekend, every possible contingency was put before him.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been able to react with aplomb with everything that was thrown his way.
Yeah, I mean, there was something really deeply wrong with him stylistically. There was something deeply wrong with him, you know, as a human being last night.
Well,
that's the other funny thing. There's been all this talk about Kerry being orange all week. But I actually thought Bush was the one with kind of a peculiar color last night.
He was the one with the tan that Rush was saying, like, oh, let me see the tan that Kerry's got.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has all these theories. I mean, I was also hearing today from somebody who claimed that Fox had actually made Bush look taller somehow, and that they changed the camera angles. But if that's true, they also made Bush look a stranger color. I mean, Kerry won the battle of the color bar, so. Anyway. I'd like you all to relax. Take a deep cleansing breath. That's not the kind of deep cleansing breath.
Oh.
We're going to ujjayi breath, actually, because we're going to be talking about yoga now. Well, Cleveland Indian pitcher Kyle Denny was saved from a more serious injury by wearing a women's cheerleader go-go boots, prompting Dennis Rodman to consider a return to professional sports. I suppose there are worse things to wind up in the emergency room wearing, like an Arizona Diamondback uniform. It's time for Sports Out Loud, a very French sports because take that. I'm Victor Sir Ambrosio.
Oui.
This is Bruce Stevens and myself.
Do we got stung in the air?
And go-go boots. Thank God it was a USC cheerleader's outfit. Forget how to drive when it rains.
I don't think they ever knew.
But once the crowd got there, it was great.
We have Ask Mr. Ambrosio a question. They're coming in from farther away these days.
Yes, well, that's because our range, I think our engineers have extended our range to 70,000 watts.
Richard Forbes Donald Hill of Kuantan, Malaysia, right?
Who?
Richard Forbes Donald Hill of Kuantan, Malaysia.
Is that two separate people? Do you think they're
just one.
Okay.
The resident green snakes here in Malaysia are up to 90 centimeters long, Mr. Ambrosio.
Yes.
They can climb coconut trees.
Yep, they can. That's where they get their nutrition is from coconut trees. It's the only place.
But the question is,
that and molten leaves.
Since they don't have arms or legs, how are they able to climb trees? And how do they get down without falling?
Well, it's an interesting question, but it's the same technique as soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
They just slither along on their stomach, and they have little suction cups suction cup-like kind of tentacles on the underside of their belly that allows them to go up the tree. And then you see them slide down the tree. That's because when the snake sticks its tongue out and back in, that releases the suction cups, and it allows the snake to slide down the tree. So it's pretty, I mean, it's pretty simple. We've done extensive research. We've lost a couple of researchers in the region trying to find the answers to that, but that's pretty much what it is.
Not sure.
Ooh, I gotta find that out. That could change everything. All right, time to do traffic.
Not really.
Oh, and it's time to do that. I completely lost track of what time of day it is.
What was it like in here yesterday when I wasn't
No,
here?
I was fine. I didn't ask Bobby. I didn't make any big mistakes. I didn't screw up the format. But what happens is when you're here, I begin to rely on you, and then I begin to depart from reality, and I begin to hallucinate, and I lose track of everything.
I thoroughly understand.
But see, working with you, it's like working with, like, Max Roach on drums and Ron Carter on bass. It's like, I don't, you know.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's good. They're like the all-time greatest rhythm section. So, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I just sort of rely on you to tell me, like, for example, key things like what time it is, for example.
Right, like about now, for example.
Okay, now we'll do what you're driving.
The person I used to feel I had some kind of support with.
Colin, you just gotta get over it.
I hate you!
You know what he was doing during the news? He was out plastering Jody Rell bumper stickers on his desk. So I think this is pretty stinging.
That's true. Maybe that's what I should do.
You guys, yesterday afternoon at 3:15, you would check your fax and email. You got a press release.
A press release. In the fun of fax machine.
Yeah, the fax machine.
Where anybody could
Where I was at the football stadium, and you were in here dealing with everything. I mean, a press release.
You guys are losing it. We need to get a grip here.
A little piece of paper that
came in.
Everybody else
Let me just ask you one basic question, Susan.
Wait a minute. Bruce, you are usually taking up my side. What's happened here?
Because he's the kind of person you really are.
I thought there was going to be some, you know, grandiose announcement here on this program, and I feel bad for my cohort here.
The man
has spent tears going down his face all afternoon. I'm in your corner, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's like I've been watching this pain and agony throughout the afternoon
Bruce
here.
You guys are sleeping at 11 o'clock in the morning, for Pete's sake.
You know, we are.
No, that's not true.
Don't you say that. Let me just ask you one question about this press release, all right?
It took you a while to get over the fact that I told Sam Gingerella.
That's what we had to do. We had to listen to the Gingerella show in order to get the information.
When you took that courageous stand at 5:30 in the morning. When you went away out on a limb for the six crank users who were still up at that time of the night. All right.
No, that's when the FDR Democrats are listening.
All right. Let me just ask you one question about this press release, all right? Is it the same press release?
Press advisory, I stand corrected.
Press advisory. Was it the same press advisory you sent to Mark Davis? Did we get the same press release that Mark Davis got? Yes, we did. Your silence is...
treat everybody equally.
So we're indistinguishable in your book from Mark Davis. Okay, that's fine.
No. I'll just have to find... Everybody in the press corps got the same thing.
We'll just have to find a candidate who doesn't feel that way. That's all. That's okay.
Oh, thank goodness.
And we're very hurt. We thought we were going to be special. We thought we were going to be sort of part of the whole Susan Bicewicz kitchen cabinet. We figured we'd be like co-commissioners of transportation or something in your administration.
But, oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to send over a little cheese to go with the wine over there.
Yeah, maybe some wine. Maybe just send us a hot dog. I hear they work wonders. I think you're trying to politicians start using
public hot dogs. You need at least two of those.
We need to move them around and change places with them and stuff like that. All right, so you're running for governor.
Hey, can we do that again? Can we sound just a teeny bit more excited about it?
So you're running for governor. How's that?
We're getting better there, Bruce.
Okay, try it. You call it. You try it.
I see you. Oh, my heavens.
All right, so you're running for governor.
I am.
Well, you know, the only thing that's saving me right now is I can't stand Malloy and DeStefano. You couldn't find him with a, you know, metal detector.
In my defense, I can say this. I'm sure that those other two gentlemen did not even send you a press advisory.
No, that's probably true. Oh, geez, thanks for the press advisory, then. They probably sent me a press advisory. Well, maybe not DeStefano, but Malloy. Are you kidding, Malloy? Malloy probably had like a plane pulling a banner over our studios. He's a maniac. But that's what's saving you right now. That's the only reason that we're even having this conversation.
Well, I see that I have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even rule out. Maybe you should come in here and we should have some, have like a counselor of some kind. Get those women.
A counselor?
The psychiatry women we from UConn and stuff like that we had in Berkeley.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I think actually you need to make use of those services.
Oh, so you're saying there's something wrong with me? You mean you totally screw us? You screw me, but there's something wrong with me because I'm having an emotional reaction to it.
I haven't heard you get this worked up in quite a while, like I have to say.
You know, I'm really enjoying it, too, actually, I have to say that. You know what it is?
Always bored on Friday afternoons.
When you spread as much trouble and misery as I do, day in and day out, the opportunity to actually feel victimized comes for me so rarely. The opportunity to be able to blame somebody else for mistreating me is such an incredible novelty. It's like a little vacation for me.
There you go.
All right. Well, you probably have some other press people to talk to now, so why don't you just hurry along?
Oh, my God.
I bet you it's probably Mark's calling on line two or something like that, or perhaps Tom Monahan. You probably want to talk to him.
No, I took my dad with me for my filing of my papers, and all Mark Davis wanted to know was how old my dad was.
Well, that's the kind of question that I would have a little bit too much class to ask.
He was awarded a Purple Heart in World War II, so that should be enough.
I may vote in Delaware. You know, I may just not even vote in the state of Connecticut. That's how upset I am right now.
By the way, did you ever fill out that voter registration card?
I'm not answering any more questions. No, I'm not answering any more questions about my... About anything, really.
Registration card.
Yeah.
Because I know you sent me a voter. It was important.
That was back when I liked you. Yes, I know.
But maybe it's good if you haven't filled it out.
All right. Well, anyway. Well, I'm sure we'll patch this up.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure we will.